SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Get 15% off a set of Brake Best Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yaman, welcome to NITV Radio. Bertrand Tungandami Ngaya. I'm Bertrand Tungandami. Coming up in your program this Wednesday, the 14th of August, we'll hear the journey of Marty Morris, a proud Wiradjuri and Kaminaroi man who had a childhood marred by violence and dysfunction, but turned his life around thanks to TAFE New South Wales, where he gained practical skills and life-changing real-world work experience. Also, we'll hear how on the sidelines of National Science Week, the federal government announced that Indigenous knowledge will, for the first time, be a focus of its set of scientific priorities. We also have Ayan with Ranki Lo, a video producer for SBS Chinese, sharing his experience covering the 2024 Gamma Festival recently held in remote Northeast Arnhem Land. All these stories and more coming to you on NITV Radio after the news.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
They've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
Bulletin. New data shows overrepresentation of Indigenous youth in New South Wales courts amid renewed calls to raise the age of criminal responsibility. Cheers for Australia's Olympians as they return home from the Paris Olympics. And in the AFL, Melbourne's Alex Neil-Berlin requests to trade to South Australian club. New data indicates that a majority of young children appearing in New South Wales courts are from disadvantaged backgrounds and often Indigenous, amid a debate over raising the age of criminal responsibility. A day after the Victorian government reversed its promise to raise the criminal responsibility age to 14, New South Wales data reveals that 4,662 people aged 10 to 13 were charged in 2023. Over 40% of those people were Indigenous, with children in remote and regional areas three times more likely to face legal action. And of 171 people aged 10 to 13 in youth detention in 2023, 16% were Indigenous. The Australian Olympic team has received a warm welcome from Prime Minister Anthony Albanese as they arrived at the Sydney airport this morning from Paris. The team secured Australia's fourth place finish after claiming a record 18 gold medals, 19 silvers and 16 bronze in Paris, which is the team's most successful Olympics ever. Mr. Albanese commended the team.
Every single one of these athletes has done us proud. And as the athletes went down the stairs there, not everyone had a medal around their neck, but every single one of them was worth their weight in gold. Every single one of them has done our country proud.
About one in three Australian students are failing to meet basic literacy and numeracy standards as entrenched disadvantage widens educational disparities. almost 1.3 million students across more than 94,000 Australian schools and campuses took the National Assessment Program for those in years 3, 5, 7 and 9. Female students outperformed male counterparts in writing, with 73% testing at strong or exceeding levels, compared to 58% of boys in year 7, while male students performed better in numeracy than female students. The results also showed a higher proportion of Indigenous students needed additional support. Education Minister Jason Clare says the results demonstrate that more needs to be done for the Australian education system.
The Better and Fairer Schools Agreement that I've released, signed by the Commonwealth and the Northern Territory Government, it sets out the sort of reforms that I want to tie extra funding to. Things like phonics checks and numeracy checks when kids are little in year one, things like evidence-based teaching, things like investing in catch-up tutoring. That means providing extra support for kids who are falling behind by getting them out of the classroom and into a room where there might be one teacher and a couple of kids. The evidence shows that when you do that right, kids who fall behind can learn as much in 6 months as they'd otherwise learn in 12 months.
The shutdown of the 3G network has been delayed after Australia's telecommunication companies faced criticism over public safety concerns. Telstra and Optus have jointly announced that they would delay the 3G closure until October 28. But both telcos had planned to turn off the network by the end of August, but a Senate inquiry revealed that thousands of devices would be unable to make 000 calls following the shutdown. The inquiry was also told critical medical equipment, fire alarms, FPOS machines and waste and water infrastructure could be cut off in the outage. A joint statement from Telstra and Optus this morning reveals both companies would launch a mass public awareness campaign to ensure all users were aware they needed to upgrade their devices. Monkeypox is spreading at an alarming rate in Africa, leading to the declaration of a public health emergency in the continent. Mpox is an infectious disease transmitted through close contact and causes flu-like symptoms and pus-filled lesions. Most cases are mild, but it can kill. Director General of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Africa, Jean Kesea, says although cases are spreading rapidly across the continent, it could affect other parts of the world.
This is not just an African issue. Mpox is a global threat, a menace that knows no boundaries, no race, no creed. It is a virus that exploits our vulnerabilities, preying on our weakest point. And it is in this moment of vulnerability that we must find our greatest strength and demonstrate that we are all learning from the COVID lesson and we are playing solidarity.
A 46-year-old woman is facing court charges for murder over the death of her 10-year-old daughter. The girl was discovered unresponsive and could not be revived after her father called police to an address at Emerald Lakes in Carrara just after 6 p.m. last night. Detective Acting Inspector Kent Ellis says investigations are ongoing and confirms there is no safety concern for the community.
The scene was incredibly confronting, and our attending members, both QPS and paramedics, will be receiving the necessary support. In my 15-year career as a detective, it's one of the most confronting scenes I have seen. Okay, we understand that this is going to cause distress amongst the community, but can I please remind the community that there is no one outstanding and there is no ongoing community safety concern at this time.
If you or someone you know needs support, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or 1800 737 732. Australia's biggest bank has made a $9.5 billion full-year profit, down 6% from the previous year and rising amid rising household costs. The Commonwealth Bank's cash net profit after tax for the 12 months to June, the 30th, was $9.8 billion, down 2% from 2023-2024. Net interest income dropped 1% to $22.8 billion. CBA will pay a $2.50 full franked dividend, taking its full year dividend to 4.65 per share, up 3% from a year ago. It reports its net interest margin was 1.99%, down 8 basis points from 2023-2024, largely due to the impact of competition and deposit switching. Australia's corporate watchdog is suing the nation's largest market operator, ASX Limited, for alleged misleading statements about one of its projects. The Australian Securities and Investment Commission made the announcement on this morning, saying the statements relate to its replacement plan for computer systems used to record shareholdings and manage the settlement of share transactions. It alleges that ASX's February 10, 2022 claims that the project was on track for go live in April 2023 and was progressing well were misleading. According to ASIC, the assertions were misleading and fraudulent since at the time of the announcements, the project was not progressing as planned and ASX had no reasonable basis to infer it would reach future milestones. Opposition leader Peter Dutton has called for the government to stop allowing people fleeing Gaza to enter Australia. The comments by ASIO Director Mark Burgess over the weekend that support for Hamas did not automatically disqualify people from getting a visa. Speaking with Sky News, Mr. Dutton said Australia's national security should be the priority.
I don't think people should be coming in from that war zone at all at the moment. It's not prudent to do so, and I think it puts our national security at risk.
Labour frontbencher Jason Clare says there have been no changes to the security regime.
What I'd say to Peter Dutton, he knows this, is that the same security checks that were in place when he was a minister are in place now. And I'd invite Peter Dutton to come to my electorate and meet the people who've come here from Gaza. There's more than 1,000 people from Gaza here now. These are people who've had their home blown up, who've had their school blown up, who've had their hospital blown up, in some cases have had their kids blown up. And these are people who are trying to rebuild their lives here in Australia.
The rape and murder of a trainee medic in the city of Kolkata has led to a nationwide doctors' protest in India. The 31-year-old doctor was found dead on Friday, August 9, and police say a police volunteer was subsequently arrested in connection with the crime. West Bengal's Health Secretary Narayan Swarup Nigam has appealed to the protesting doctors to return to work after High Court in Kolkata ordered that the criminal investigation be transferred to India's federal police, indicating that the authorities were treating the case as a national priority. Bilwar Dal Bhattacharya is the advocate representing the victim.
We are rather thankful and grateful to the Honourable Court that the CBI has been now handed over the investigation. We also wanted the investigation to be monitored by the Honourable Court. Now the court has also directed the CBI to file periodic reports.
And to sport, in AFL, Melbourne Premiership winner Alex Neil-Bullen has formally requested a trade back to his home state of South Australia for family reasons. The midfielder, who has played 174 games in 10 seasons at Melbourne, says he still loves the club but needed to put his family first. The announcement comes as Melbourne wrestles with player discontent among its stars, including Norm Smith, medalist Christian Petrarca. Demons coach Simon Goodwin says there is goodwill between Melbourne and Neil Bullen, and he would play in the Demons' final two games against Gold Coast and Collingwood. And now having a look at the weather around the country, Broome, sunny 33, Perth, showers 20 degrees, Adelaide, a sunny day 21, Melbourne, partly cloudy 21, Hobart, similar conditions 18, Albury-Wodonga, mostly cloudy 18, Canberra, same conditions 15 degrees, Wollongong, rainy and 18 degrees, Sydney, same conditions 18 degrees, Newcastle, much the same 18, Brisbane, also rainy 20, Townsville, sunny day ahead 26 degrees, Cairns, same forecast with a top of 28, Alice Springs, sunny 27, Darwin, also sunny 31, and the Torres Strait Islands, mostly sunny day and a top of 31 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.
Oh. ITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
That was Take Me Home by Lauren Ryan. I am Bertrand Tungandame, and you're listening to an ITV Radio broadcasting from NAM this Wednesday afternoon. Coming up next, well, on the sidelines of National Science Week, the federal government announced that Indigenous knowledge will, for the first time, be a focus of its set of scientific priorities. In the program, we also have a Yan with Ranki Lo, a video producer for SBS Chinese, sharing his experience covering the 2024 Gamma Festival, recently held in remote northeast Arnhem Land. But first, Luana Grant brings us the story of one man whose life was changed for the better thanks to TAFE New South Wales.
NITV Radio.
And I'm from Scone in New South Wales.
And thank you so much for coming on NITV Radio today to share your story with us. Now, your life changed in an instant when you were injured in a workplace accident. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that and how that impacted you?
Yeah, look, I had 3 vertebrae crushed in my back. It definitely affected my mental health with, I couldn't do what I normally used to do, be a provider for my family, play with my kids, like kick a footy. And even simple acts of mowing the lawn and things like that. So I was an interstate truck driver, and I had a door that was damaged on the truck that wasn't repaired. And that door come down and as I said, crushed 3 vertebrae in my back.
And how long did it take you to recover from that injury?
At the moment, I'm still dealing with the problems of that. So it's 5 years now, and these are lifelong injuries that I've got.
And after that incident occurred, you decided to enrol in a TAFE course and to enter into a new career working in the youth space. Can you tell us about what it was about youth work that you were drawn to, and how did you find the experience at TAFE?
The way I got into youth work was really bizarre. A really good mate of mine, he's passed away, Jamie Varco. He was a speechwriter for people in Parliament, for politicians. He was a really good mate of mine up in southeast Queensland, and he kept saying to me, "Marty, you got to get into youth work." And it's like, "Mate, I'm a truck driver." And he goes, "No, you'd be brilliant at it." And I said, "Mate, I'm a truck driver, I'm a horseman, I'm not much else." And when I got hurt, I was, looking at re-education to be, to be a provider for my family again. And Jamie's voices kept coming into my head going, "Youth work." I looked at it, spoke to my wife about it, and found myself enrolling and then sitting back going, "Holy hell, what have I done?"
And how long was that TAFE course, and what course was it that you enrolled in?
So it was a Cert 4 in youth work. It was 12 months, which was really good. The insurance company approved me, because I'm obviously still on workers' comp. They approved me to do a 12-month-long re-education, which was really great, on WorkCover Victoria's behalf. So 12 months, so I did an online course, and it was absolutely fantastic.
And how did you find that experience studying? And you did say it was online, so what was, that experience is a little bit different to having to go into the classroom. What did you make of the whole experience?
The online experience was absolutely fantastic for me. Because of my limitations due to the injury, I had adequate seating at home. I had sit-to-stand desks. I had, the supports I've got at home to help me with my disability really helped me with the online learning, because I couldn't travel to a TAFE. I couldn't sit in the seating that's provided by TAFE. So it was highly beneficial, and the teachers are fantastic. The group of teachers I had in my course, from Shona Smith, Jenny McDonald, and Berenice Murphy, those guys facilitating the class, they really just made it. And then even to the tutorial help that I had, it was highly beneficial and helped me so much.
And once you graduated, you started working with at-risk youth and became a mentor for troubled teens. This must be incredibly rewarding work and something that you're obviously very passionate about. Do you mind talking a bit more about it and the work that you do?
Well, for sure. I definitely wanted to help the 16 to 24s. And I was really looking at going into sort of a full Indigenous type of position, helping only Indigenous people. And I thought, well, hey, hang on, I can speak to absolutely everyone. Doesn't matter if you're black, blue or brindle. And so I'm helping absolutely everyone with Upper Hunter Community Services. They've been absolutely fantastic in the way that they know I'm injured, how they support my injury, and the limitations like that I have, they're completely understanding. But working with this age group that I am, through the Youth on the Move program, it can be very, very challenging, but because you're working with people with a lot of trauma, a lot of alcohol and drug-related problems.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's so rewarding.
What is it about working with youth that you also get out of it as well?
The change in the cycle of disadvantage. If I can help one person strive to be their better self, it's a win, and therefore it builds their family, it builds them, it builds their future family. And it helps community as well.
And you've also enrolled in other courses to further your studies. What courses have you enrolled in since you've graduated?
So I've re-enrolled back with TAFE with a Cert 4 in alcohol and other drugs. And I've also enrolled with a Diploma of Counselling.
Wow, that's incredible. And how are you finding these courses?
The more education I've got, the more service I can deliver.
Mm.
And it's needed. There's a massive shortage of men, and especially men with, say, lived life skills. And we'll put those down as, like, say, men with a misspent youth, or even, you know, life skills of dealing with drug and alcohol problems, and they've come out the other side, or, you know, any mental health issues and that. The youth really seem to connect with people who have lived experience. And I think if I can build more skills, there's more youth I can reach. So therefore, hopefully, there's more change that I can make.
Yeah, for sure. And you recently won a very special award, the Health, Wellbeing and Community Services Student of the Year at the 2024 Gilley Awards. Congratulations. What was that like for you to accept that award?
Oh, absolutely. I was blown away when I was nominated for it. Because I didn't even know the awards existed. I actually said to a friend of mine, because out at Ning, and they were very blown away that I was getting this nomination. And I said, well, what is the Gillies Award? And it got described to me as you get a bit of paper and a shiny rock. And then I looked into it and I thought, wow, what a bit of paper and what a shiny rock. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it must have been a really proud moment for yourself and, you know, your family and your children as well.
It was, well, my mother, like, you know, she's had a very, well, as I said before, men with a misspent youth. I've definitely misspent my youth. And my mother actually looked at me and said, so I'm so glad, son, that I've lived to be 83. I've got to see you win an award. It's school.
Aww, that's really sweet.
No, but look, I'm really honoured to receive that award, and definitely think it's something pretty special.
Congratulations on that award and all the work that you're doing. It's very, very important work, and, you know, helping youth and being a youth worker is, like you said, it can be challenging but very rewarding. So I want to thank you for all the work that you're doing in the community. And finally, what's next for you, and do you hope to continue studying or furthering your career? What's next?
Well, I want to further my career. I think with the study that I've got in place now, hopefully by the end of next year, I'll be a fully qualified counsellor.
Mm-hmm.
And with the study that I also do through work with Upper Hunter Community Services, they definitely supply a lot of in-house training and courses that they actually fund me to go to, which is absolutely incredible. So I hope to potentially stay here in the Upper Hunter and continue to work with the youth in this area, and potentially, you know, keep running this Youth on the Move program, which I think is a fantastic program. It's desperately needed. I've been approached by people as far south as Newcastle, as far west as Nyngan, and as far north as Moree to get programs running in those areas. And, you know, look, if I can continue to do what I'm doing, there's no reason this program can't grow.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much, Marty, for coming on NITV Radio and chatting to me about your story. It's very inspiring. And once again, congratulations on the award that you received. And it was very well earned.
No, thank you very much.
And that was a proud Wiradjuri Gamina Roy man, Marty Morris, talking to NITV Radio's executive producer, Luana Grant. We must now go to a break, but stay with us, because when we come back, we'll hear how Indigenous knowledge will be the focus of the federal government's priorities. Gonna go catch the night. And that was Kian with his beautiful song, Catch the Night, coming to you on NITV Radio, broadcasting from Nam on the Kulin Nation this Wednesday afternoon. Now, Indigenous knowledge will, for the first time, be a focus of the federal government's set of scientific priorities. The National Science and Research Priorities will guide Australian science and research efforts for the next decade, replacing the current framework published in 2015. Alex Anifantis reports.
Leonora-based Kato Muwa is the founder of Dilji Labs. Kato hopes that their technology can be used to connect traditional Aboriginal knowledge with Western research.
Dilji Lab, we do innovation and technology, bringing dream time into science for use today. So it's basically our main product line at the moment is educational technology products.
He says the company's apps are designed to help teachers and students enhance their knowledge on Indigenous culture and bring First Nations science into the classroom.
The education system has a very limited array of Aboriginal knowledge based products. And what this is designed to do is to keep kids at school, engage kids, contextualise their learning experience.
That combination is now a part of a new science strategy announced by the federal government. In a first for the policy, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples will be prioritised in the sector, with Indigenous knowledge incorporated into emerging technologies, particularly digital and data, while protecting the cultural and intellectual property. The new National Science and Research Priorities Framework has been unveiled by the Industry and Science Minister, Ed Husic.
The last time our National Science and Research Priorities were actually updated was under Tony Abbott. So given everything we've experienced, the challenges no doubt amplified through climate change, but also living through a global pandemic, we needed to redo those priorities.
The five new priorities include transitioning to a net zero future, supporting healthy and thriving communities, elevating Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander knowledge systems, protecting and restoring the environment, and building a secure and resilient nation. The five goals were developed after extensive consultations with communities and researchers across the country. The team was led by Chief Scientist Kathy Foley.
The process of having a national conversation brought everyone along, from school kids, university students, top academics, but also we talked to the industry, just mums and dads in the streets. We talked to anyone who we could listen to. And the thing that was interesting was that apart from that consensus of those five priorities, we heard the research community is really enthusiastic to get behind this and looking forward to be able to join in and contribute, because there is, over the next 10 years, a real desire to be part of what is needed to be able to make the most of this great opportunity.
The new science policy calls for research to address the approach to climate change adaptation that supports regional and remote communities. And also under the framework, research that affects Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples will be guided by them, whether as community leaders, traditional knowledge holders or researchers. Bradley Mogridge is an associate professor at the University of Technology in Sydney. He says the new research priority is the right move.
We've been doing science for 65,000 years, and I think there's a great opportunity to move that knowledge alongside Western science to work together. Indigenous knowledge systems have that experience, connection, observation and also impact that the Australian environment has thrown at Indigenous people for, you know, all those years. You know, we've survived climate change, we've witnessed volcanic activity, we've seen meteors, and obviously we've seen floods and droughts like never before. So the opportunity to bring Indigenous knowledge alongside as an equal to Western science, I think, is a great opportunity for us to see how these two knowledge systems can work together.
Alex Anifantis, SBS News.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Make sure you get the full picture, not just what the social media feed gives you. Find all our news and stories at SBS Language website. Bookmark sbs.com.au/language in your web browser today. And that was Within We Rise, and it's one of Mitch Tumble's latest piece that features on his latest album and also one of his projects, really a new take on the Yidaki. We must now go to a break, but stay with us, because when we come back, we'll find NITV Radio's Executive Director Luana Grant in conversation with Ranki Lo, SBS Chinese broadcaster who was recently covering Gamma Festival in Northeast Arnhem Land. Stay tuned.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Now, NITV and SBS provided an extensive coverage of Gamma Festival, including coverage in languages other than English. In the recent event, Ranki Lo from SBS Chinese was one of the broadcasters and journalists from other parts of SBS, from other community groups and languages, who attended the event and covered it for all of SBS's audiences. And Luana Grant caught up with him to learn more about his experience covering Gamma and also attending the event for the first time.
Hi, my name is Ranki Lo. I'm a video producer from SBS Chinese. So this time is my first time to be here in Gamma, and it's my honor to be chosen from the team to report in the Gamma this year. It was like a perfect team up with my colleague Dima from Arabic team, who is an experienced reporter. So to both of us, this was an amazing and eye-opening journey in the last 4 days in Gamma. And also we have went to a day adventure tour after the Gamma festival. Yeah.
So just going back to the start, I guess, what was it like being at Gamma for the first time? You just said it was your first time being there and being invited. What did you expect it was going to be like, and then what was it like when you actually got there?
It's kind of expected, really, because I have been seeing news from previous Gamma, and I know what is that about. And but it's totally different vibe when you actually arrive here in person, and the way they dance and artwork is just amazing. Yeah.
And can you talk us through and maybe set the scene a little bit about the location and what it was like? Yeah. And, you know, did you camp? And what was that whole yeah. experience like for you?
Yeah. So on the first day in Gama, we just spent some time to explore the site because it's our first time to be here, and got to know places to places. It's kind of not small, but this... places to places to travel need time, so we get to know the places, and actually there were a lot of like a main stage and a bungalow area, knowledge center, a couple of forums, Gapen gallery, and also stores for Gamma souvenirs. For the reason why we actually didn't go to the camp because we need to stay up in a hotel for uploading for footage for our teammates to work on. So we are staying in a hotel in a town in Luwumboi, where we can have a power charge our equipments and better set up for materials for our team to get the story out on time. And however, I have heard some of the crew member who have been doing the camping and people staying in the camp, they were like a movie or documentary showing in the outdoor cinema, and also music performance happening till late. Yeah, actually I think I gotta miss that.
Well, maybe next time when you go, you can go in the camp area, and then you can experience all of those nighttime activities that you might have missed out on. What cultural activities did you participate in? I know you mentioned at the beginning that you went on a day out yesterday with some of the team members. Can you talk us through the different cultural activities that you got to participate in while you were at Gama?
Yeah, well, for the cultural activities, we did hit on the ground and ended actually interview people who were dancing in the bongo. It's actually from other background community, and they enjoyed the time very much, so much. And also, I have mentioned the adventure tour the day after Gama in Waka homeland, which I feel is like visiting their homeland, because it's kind of a restricted area, and they did lots of cultural painting on my forehead and burn some leaves and put onto our body to make us feel like as part of their family and make us feel welcome to their places. So and our tour was like finishing at a beach, which is called Lonely Beach. And, you know, there's a lot of crocodile in the area. So this is the beach where they only places to you're able to swim without the crocodile and in the ocean. So this and all the members, tour members went down to the water and have fun there. Yeah. Really about their culture and I think there's a bit of history telling about why their family is here about their homeland he's staying. Yeah.
And you mentioned that you went to the bungalow, and that's where all the dancing happens. What was that like? Because I've heard it's a really, really amazing thing to witness, being at the bungalow site and watching all the dancing. What was that like?
Oh, the bungalow is amazing. As actually, I have mentioned, people from everywhere just enjoying themselves at the end and just dancing together. And when I saw some little ones and dancing on the field, it's really, they're really enjoying the dance, and I know that the kids from the First Nation people, they're actually growing up in this kind of environments. That's why this kind of cultural passing on to the next generation, I think. Yeah.
And what were some of the discussions that took place at the forums? Because Garma is mm-hmm. known for, you know, yep. a lot of politicians come and community leaders, and they talk about things that are going on in our communities and looking to the future. What were some of the discussions that took place at the forums that stuck out to you?
Yeah, the Garma Festival is so-called festival, but it's just not just a festival. It's a mixture of like political or kind of open discussion of the past and cultural activities. And there were elders telling their story, talk about their pain and in the past and the healing, and also some discussion about the opportunity for business, as the Prime Minister has also announced there will be a government funding for Garma Institute to set up in the future. And in general, well, I can feel they are quite optimistic when after the result of the referendum last year, and there's discussion for the future as well. So and of course there are more forums for artists and musicians to share their stories in different area of forums in Garma. Yeah.
And what was your highlight of Garma, your Garma experience? What was your highlight?
I think the highlight should be the way the Yolngu people were welcoming us as a visitor to their land, and how they can continue and passing on the rich culture like music, art, and their language to the next generation. And also it reminds me, as a father of two, as a Hong Konger, it's important for me to establish an identity for my next generation.
And finally, do you hope to go to Garma again in the future and maybe take your kids with you as well one day so they can experience it?
Yes, of course. Yes, it's lifetime experience, and I enjoyed the trip very much. And I think my kids will be enjoying the dance as well, because they're kind of active. And I think it's kind of a cultural exchange to them as well. So I'm looking forward if I have a chance in the future.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Renki, for joining me. Yeah. And also thank you so much for your interviews that you passed on, that we also played on NITV Radio earlier in the week. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of your trip and a safe trip home.
Thank you, Rina.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
And that conversation between NITV Radio's executive producer Luana Grant with Renki Law of SBS Chinese is published on our website, sbs.com.au/NITV Radio. And that's all from us on NITV Radio this Wednesday afternoon. Your program will be back on Friday with more news and stories from right across the country. I'm Bertrand Tungandame, thanking you for your company this Wednesday afternoon, leaving you with Electric Fields in Shade Away.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of nursing, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online RN to BSN, MSN, or DNP degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with local in-person clinical, practicum, or immersion hours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.